When we look at Sabbath, as I said a moment ago, there are four key elements involved. And I don't think all of these elements necessarily have to always be there at the same time, but these are just kind of four rules of thumb, generally speaking, that will help us to focus in and practice Sabbath. And the first one is simply stop. Now, this one is kind of mandatory, right? Like, we stop. We slow down. Like, I kept thinking about, like, all the different songs that are like, stop. Right? In the name of God. Sorry. It's been a long week. We stop. And somebody that has been really helpful in this process for me is a guy named Pete Scazzaro, who learned all about Sabbath the hard way because he experienced burnout as a pastor. And now his ministry is all about helping pastors and the wider church embrace such things as Sabbath to in a way that the church will be more healthy overall. Right. And so we're going to have some quotes from him mixed in here. Pete Scazzaro simply says this: Sabbath is first and foremost a day when we cease all work, paid and unpaid. On the Sabbath, we embrace our limits. We stop. Going back to that Genesis 2 passage, we see this reflected here when God created the seventh day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed, ceased, finished. It says again there, they were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So at the heart of Sabbath is stopping. It's slowing down. It's ceasing from work. See, there's this illusion, or maybe a better word would simply be a lie, that we are in control. There's this illusion that if we stop everything, then that means everything will fall apart. But to use the vernacular of my 13-year-old, TBH, which means, to be honest, TBH, we are not indispensable. Also, there will always be goals to meet, projects to finish, tasks to do. I don't know about you, but my honey-do list never gets shorter. It only gets longer. But this is an opportunity for us to be reminded of the reality that God is the Lord and King. He is the one on the throne, not you or I, and He doesn't need us to manage the world. He is the sustainer of all things, not us. And this is something that's repeated throughout Scripture. One place is Colossians 1:17. And the He there is referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus is before all things, meaning He was pre-existent. And in Him all things hold together. In Jesus all things hold together. You do not hold your family together. You may think you're the glue of your family, but Scripture reminds us here that you are not the glue of your family. Myself as the pastor, I'm not the glue of this church. The church board is not the glue of this body. Jesus is. He is the one who sustains it all by His very will. So, we can learn to slow down and stop because it's not incumbent upon us. It's incumbent upon Jesus, who willingly sustains it all. I hope that is just freeing to your ears right now. You can do it. Because Jesus is the sustainer. Question: what happens if we continue to take on this role that's only meant for Jesus? What happens if we don't stop? That's where we fall into burnout and we fall into failure. And failure can be good, I know that, but I'm talking about like failure in the sense of being burned out. And that's where we are more prone to falling into sinfulness. Broken relationships come about as a result. Why? Because we're not the sustainers. We were designed to stop.
That's God's creation plan for us. We were designed to be people that are able to slow down and stop and unplug with the world in order to plug in with God. The second part is rest. So we stop and we rest. Again, Pete Scazzaro reminds us, once we stop, we accept God's invitation to rest. God rested after His work of creation. Every seventh day, we are to do the same. And taking it back to Genesis 2, the second part of verse 2. So on the seventh day, God rested from all His work. Now, some dialogue with some friends this week. What does that even mean that God rested, right? You know, that would be maybe a sermon for another time. But for now, Genesis 2:2 does tell us that God rested on the Sabbath. God rested on that seventh day. I think in the least, it's because He's modeling for us what He wants us to do. And we see the same in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus never calls us to do anything that He hasn't already done Himself. Perhaps we see the same thing with the Father here. God rests in order to just simply show us how to do it. Because He's calling us to it. So we stop and we rest. Now, rest is not simply... Sometimes when we might think of Sabbath, we might think of this. It's kind of dark, but it's a person laying on the bed and there's just a pillow covering them. Right? So when we think of Sabbath, we might think of something like this. Like, all we do is lay around in my bed all day, 24 hours. That's not Sabbath. That can be a part of Sabbath, but that's not Sabbath. But it's funny, like, when I talked to some people this week, that was one of the first things that kind of came to mind. Like, what am I supposed to do? Just, like, sit there and twiddle my thumbs all 24 hours? Does it even have to be 24 hours? There's another valid question that came up a couple times in some discussions this week. What do we talk about when we talk about resting here? I think for us, it's not necessarily any one thing. I think it's partly based on how God has created us each individually. Because something that might give you rest might not give me rest. And something that I might find rest in might not be restful for you. So this is where we got to be careful not to be legalistic in our application of it. It could involve hiking or napping or reading or enjoying good food or partaking in a sport or a hobby or watching a movie. I don't think binge-watching Netflix would be part of that. But watching an episode of something or watching a movie on Netflix could be part of Sabbath rest, right? It could even involve spending time with others. It doesn't mean that you're just off like a monk during that time. It can involve like going out for lunch with somebody that you have a good connection with and somebody that just is encouraging to you and life-giving to you, and that can be built into your Sabbath time. That can be something that is restful as well. So just kind of a key question here. What restores and replenishes you? However you would answer that question, I would say incorporate that in your stopping and resting. What restores you? What replenishes you? That is essentially what rest is all about. And I do want to point out that I get it that a conversation I had with my wife about this was really getting at like, does it have to be 24 hours? And Genesis 2, the 7 days. Seems to be a 24-hour period. Some people, like Pete Scazzaro, would say a 24-hour period. But in the New Testament, it teaches us that Jesus is our rest. Our rest is found in Him. And so, we don't need to be legalistic about it, but it's learning in the rhythm of our life. I would say even a daily stopping and resting, even if it's for a short period of time, can be considered a type of Sabbath. But the point is,
Are you stopping and are you resting in a way where you are recentered in your relationship and your focus on God? And I know, like, we're a church with a lot of young kids, a lot of, you know, even teenagers. And so I want to just say, if that is you, if you're here with your spouse and you have kids, husbands, it might mean that you set aside a time with your wife that you free up for her in the schedule to make sure that she's able to take that time to connect, and vice versa. Again, we don't want to be legalistic about it, but it's time that is set apart, and that'll come back around in a moment. So we stop and we rest. And thirdly, it involves delight. Delight. Stop, rest, delight. Pete Scazzaro once again. After finishing his work in creation, God pronounced it very good, according to Genesis 1:31. This was not an anemic afterthought. Oh well, it's nice to be done with that. But a joyful recognition and celebration of accomplishment. God delighted in what He had created. God delighted in His work. And Sabbath, then, is part of delight. And Genesis 2:3, the first part of that, simply says, then God blessed the seventh day. That word blessed can have the connotation of happy, but it also has this connotation of the person who is blessed is standing in favor of the king. Right? So when we talk about being blessed, we stand in God's favor. The seventh day is a day of God's favor. God is blessing it. God is treating it in some ways different from the other days. And so for us, regardless of whether you're setting aside a 24-hour period or whether it's Sunday or Monday, such as it is for me, Monday is my Sabbath rest time. Whenever it is, know this, it is a set-apart time. It is a set-apart time. And again, that comes up again in a moment. But if we are moving too fast, if we are over busy, if we are focused on the manyness and the muchness, what tends to happen then is we lose delight. Sabbath helps us refocus on delight. We delight in God's creation. We delight in nature. We delight in its fruit, such as food. We delight in other people. We delight in places. I know people who feel like they connect with God in particular places over other places. And that's fine. So maybe on your Sabbath rest, whatever that particular place is, you will delight in being in that place because you're experiencing God's delight and His presence there. Again, people, things even. Some people delight in mowing their yard and getting their hands dirty in the garden. If we were coming at it legalistically, we would say, can't do that, that's work. But if it brings you delight and it's something you don't normally take time to do and you connect with God while you're doing it, make that part of your Sabbath rest. Use my wife as an example again. Most of you know she likes to paint furniture and stuff. And we kind of joke in the house that's furniture therapy. Right? And not that she's doing the therapy on the furniture. But as she's painting, she will often put on Pandora on like a worshipful station on Pandora. So she's in the garage. She's swinging paint around. But while she's doing that, she's processing things with the Lord the whole time. Many of my wife's revelations come when she's painting furniture. Now, if we were to just simply say, you can't do that because that's work, would we be stripping her of one of the ways that she finds delight in the Lord? So maybe part of her Sabbath would include me making sure I'm caring for the kids in a way that creates space for her to set aside to connect with the Lord through painting some furniture. Because that brings her delight as she connects her creativeness with the creativeness of God in that space. Essentially, delight involves in some ways the engaging the five senses. To use my wife's example, she's holding that brush. She can smell the paint. She's hearing the worshipful music. She's into that physically and spiritually. For some people, if you're a foodie and foodie, food brings you delight and you're cooking it and you're smelling it and you're seeing it and your mouth is watering. And while you're doing it, you're able to reflect on God's goodness and provision. Well, make that part of your Sabbath. The fourth piece. Again, another question. What gives you delight? What blesses you? Incorporate that. And the fourth one is contemplate. Stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. Pondering the love of God is the central focus of our Sabbaths. What makes the Sabbath biblical Sabbath is that it is holy to the Lord. Again, it's that set apart time. We are not taking time off from God. We are drawing closer to God. Again, as I said last week, Sabbath is not just a day off from work. Sabbath is a day where you focus on leaning into the Lord, contemplating Him, drawing closer to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Genesis 2:3, the second part, and God made it holy because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. That word holy, one of the ways we can think about what that word means is to think of set apart. God set this time apart, just like you set this Sunday morning apart to worship with the believers. This is a holy time. Sabbath is a holy time because it is a set apart time where we are focusing in on connecting with the Lord. So Sabbath then, as is emphasized, is an invitation for us to focus or refocus, to draw closer to Him, to contemplate and know and experience His great love for you. And this is, again, not necessarily the whole day, but the day should involve some practice of spiritual disciplines. Bible reading and study, prayer, meditation, solitude, simplicity, as we've been talking about today. Some sort of spiritual practice that helps us to refocus rightly on the Lord. So while practicing Sabbath, we contemplate God's beauty in everything around us. And this requires that we have open eyes to see. This means that we need to slow down and stop like Elijah had to. As long as we are rushing from one thing to the next, we will struggle to contemplate and experience the beauty and goodness of our Heavenly Father. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, the rhythm of Sunday morning worship or whenever, if you're the church that rents our space next door from them, it's that Saturday night rhythm because that's when they gather to worship. That rhythm of corporate worship ties into this and is kind of a microcosm of that larger picture of Sabbath because it's a stop, a set-aside stop on our weekly journey that realigns our hearts and minds with God and His greater purpose for the world. And just to wrap it up here, I want to turn to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's a passage that I hear quoted more and more. And when I read it, I hear people turning there. It's awesome. And when I read it, and when you see it, you'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I've heard this. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." More often than not, I hear this used in reference to making the Christian life easy and light. That's not what Jesus is talking about. If you read this in context of Matthew, this is the end of chapter 11. For example, just in chapter 10, right before this, in chapter 10 alone, Jesus says, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." Does that sound restful? He says, "Don't take anything with you. Rely on the hospitality of the people you go to." Does that sound easy and light? He says, your family, some of you in your families aren't going to agree with you following me. There's going to be division as a result of that. Does that sound easy and light? He says, "If you don't acknowledge me, I won't acknowledge you before my Father and the angels." Does that sound easy and light? Friends, following Jesus is hard. Let's make no bones about that. It calls for risk. It calls for sacrifice. It calls for everything. What Jesus is talking about here in this context is finding God. Finding God, the Father, through Jesus, the Son, is easy. He doesn't make it hard. See, later in chapter 23 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will call out the Pharisees because they make it hard for people to get to God. Jesus will say to them, you travel so far and wide in order to win one convert, but when you do, you make that convert twice as much a son of hell as you. Why does he say that? Same context in Matthew 23. Jesus says, "You put burdens on the people, but you do not lift one finger in order to help them." The Pharisees, through all of their legalism and added human tradition on top of the teaching of God, was making it hard for people to get to God. What Jesus is talking about here is that through Him, it's easy to get to God. It's easy to get to God. God does not make it hard for us to find Him. But once we find Him, when He begins to speak into our lives, try living simply once and tell me if it's easy. But it's not easy, but it's worth it. Sabbath is that place where through the Son, we easily connect with the Father. Doesn't make it hard. We make it hard. Life is already hard enough. Following Jesus is not easy, but finding the Father through the Son, that's easy. Jesus wants you to be free. He wants you to be free this morning. He wants you to be free. He wants you to know the truth He wants you to know the truth and that life in Him is life in freedom, because the Word tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Holy Spirit brings this freedom about in us. And that is part of the heartbeat of Sabbath, my friends. So, at this point, I'll call Jed to come forward. And while he's coming forward, pull out those little green cards you have this morning.
Yeah, if you have these cards, like Pastor said, pull it out. There's just a couple questions on here. I like the verse that Pastor Chris kind of ended with there, that, you know, "Come to me, those that are burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Stress, conflict, all these life is not easy. It's actually harder than when you weren't following Christ. It's more fulfilling. It's more peaceful. It's all those things because we come to God in the midst of our striving. We come to God in the midst of our conflict. Instead of avoiding it, we allow Him to lead us through it and give us peace in the midst of it. So these two questions on here are just ways to help us ponder what's going on in our lives. What are the things that are keeping us from that joy and that peace and that rest that Jesus said that we can have abundantly in other parts of the scripture? So the first question there says, what areas in your life have you believed the illusion or the lie that you are in control? And if you stop, it will all fall apart. I can relate to that. Different seasons of my life, being in situations that I'm the glue, as Pastor Chris said, feeling like I had to do that and had to continue. I'm an extremely loyal person to a fault in some areas. And so it's easy for me to keep taking blows or brunts or whatever on behalf of others. But that tears you down if you don't continually come to the Lord and ask Him to give you that peace, to give you that joy, to give you that rest in the midst of it. The second question there, what keeps you from experiencing rest? It might be myself, not coming to God, not placing yourself at the feet of Jesus, not going to a friend or going to your spouse and letting them know what's going on inside. It could be, you know, working more hours, as Pastor Chris said in his sermon as well. Maybe it's a job change that you have to do. You know, sometimes there's physical and literal changes that you need to make in order to receive rest and experience rest. But the greatest thing we can do is come to the feet of Jesus and receive what He's offering. So just want to take a few minutes for you guys to ponder these questions. You know, it's often good to kind of write them down because then it kind of helps you to identify those. It kind of gets it out of your head and gets it on paper. It also will help us, too, to if you need to pray with somebody, if you need to talk with your spouse, those kind of things. Sometimes it's even just a helpful tool to hand it to a person and just ask them to keep you accountable and pray with you for that. So I just want to take a few minutes just to be quiet. I think, you know, we'll play some music in the background, if that's right, Lee. And just ponder these questions. Because it's good to hear scripture. It's good to hear sermons. It's good to sing and worship and all those things. But we don't want to just leave it just there. We don't want to just be hearers of the word, whether spoken or written. We want to be doers as well. So we want to take it a step further. There's a gentleman, I don't think he's alive anymore, but Francis Schaeffer, Pastor Chris and I were talking about this week. You know, he was a pastor and a theologian and missionary. Back in the 80s or something, he made this film, you know, How Shall We Then Live? You know, with the revelation that God gives us, what do we do with that? So this morning, the revelation is we need rest. We need to slow down. We need to not have our cup overflow with stress. So that's a revelation that has been spoken to us. And how shall we then live? What do we do with that? So just take a few minutes, contemplate these questions. As we play some music in the background, there'll be several of us, Jamie and I, Chris, the deacons, will be available for prayer or just to talk through things, help answer questions, process whatever it is that you need this morning. We want to take it a step from hearers to doers. And I don't mean do more, because we don't need to do more, but to do what God's asking us to do. Okay? So Jamie and I will be up front here. Chris, the deacons, please be sensitive to that. If you need something, come find us. But be thinking about that for a few minutes, please.